Happy New Year. Blessing to be with you on this first Sunday of 2020. Thank you so much for choosing to join us and to be with us today. It's a blessing to be together and to start this new year together. Just on a personal note, if you were not here at the Watch Night service, and just wanted to thank you all who are a part of the generous love gift that was shared with Kim and me that night. And whether you were a part of that love gift or not, we appreciate your love. But thank you so much for expressing it in an overwhelming way in that gift, and also just the way that you have loved us through the years, and particularly during this last week. It's meant a whole lot, and especially to Kim. She said she's never felt more loved than she has during this past week. And we thank the Lord for that. And we appreciate your prayers for us and for all those here at the assembly who are going through times of difficulty, and others around the world who are struggling with many different things. And we are very sensitive to that and want to be praying one for another. You see here before you an eye exam chart. How many of you have ever had an eye exam with a chart like this? Raise your hand if you've ever had it. Probably everyone. Probably everyone. I don't remember the first one I ever had. I do remember when I was 15 years old and I had completed driver's education, and I took the eye exam and I could not pass. I had to go get corrective lenses so I could get my learner's permit and I could get my driver's license. I had to do one of these and put something over one eye and get that eye checked, and put something over the other eye and get that checked. If you're here last Sunday morning for the last Sunday of 2019, you heard a brother Ron Murdoch minister out of Nehemiah chapter 1, and he started off with the question, what do you see? What do you see? As we looked at something, a couple of pictures on the screen, that you might see one thing or you might see another thing. We're continuing to follow that vein somewhat this morning as we think about vision. You know, I wish I had 20/20 vision. You know, and though I don't, physically speaking, I'm more concerned that I have 20/20 vision spiritually. Physically, a 20/20 vision is the ability to see at 20 feet what most people see at 20 feet. As we journey through 2020, this next year, and the 2020s, our desire as a local church should be that we will have 2020 spiritual vision. And when I say that, I'm not saying that we want to be able to see what most people see, but rather we want to see what God sees. We want to see what God sees, and we desire to have the ability and the insight to see what God wants us to be. To see what God sees and to see what God wants us to be. To see what God sees that we can be with Him, individually and as a local church. During this next year, the elders would desire that our theme for the year, something that we have prayed over and that we have unitedly chosen, that our theme would be 2020 vision, with a longing for each one of us individually and for all of us corporately to have spiritual eyes to see what God sees, to see what God wants us to be. Not what we want to be, not what someone else wants us to be, but what God wants us to be. And that we will not only have that vision, that 2020 vision, but that we will also be eager and willing to pursue that vision together by the power of God and for the glory of God. The elders also believe that our vision as a local church must be based on the Word of God and also be based on a mission statement that is also firmly grounded in Scripture. So with this in mind, this morning we're going to be examining our mission statement as a local church. And then in the will of the Lord, next Sunday morning I would like for us to consider more specifically our vision as a local church. So our mission statement really is why we exist, what our purpose is as a local church. Our vision is what does God want us to be? What does God want us to be as we move forward through this year and into the following years if His Son has not returned? And then I hope that the third Sunday of this new year that we could consider together some of the core values that we have as a local church and that we stand upon. Our mission statement is based on a passage in the Word of God. You see it there on the screen before you, the reference anyway. And if you have your Bible, I'm asking you to turn there, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. That's going to be our text for this morning, as well as the basis for our mission statement. These verses are commonly referred to as the Great Commission. There are similar passages that are found in the books of Mark and Luke and John and Acts from the lips of the Lord Jesus. So we'll start out this morning and we'll read those three verses together. Matthew chapter 28, in verse 18, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" It's interesting. I read an article from February of this past year, and it said that a majority of church-going American Christians are unfamiliar with the term the Great Commission, a recent survey found. Even among those familiar with it, 25% recognized the phrase but could not explain what it was. Only 17% were familiar with the phrase and its meaning. No one is really sure, it seems, who first coined the term the Great Commission. But it's believed that likely it started in the 17th century and then was popularized two centuries later by Hudson Taylor, who used the idea of the Great Commission to justify Christian missionary efforts, particularly for him, the China Inland Mission. Our mission statement states our purpose as a local church, our reason for existence. Now, it's true that the Lord Jesus did not originally declare this statement to the church. The church had not yet been born. That would not occur until 50 days after He ascended back to heaven on the day of Pentecost. The birth of the church, the Holy Spirit of God came to dwell within believers and to unite us together mystically as one body, the body of Christ. But the ones He commissioned that day, many of them were the ones who were the very foundation of the church. We read about that in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. The church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. It's very clear, I think, from God's stated goal in this passage. We're going to be looking at that. But that could not be completed in the lifetime of the original recipients of the Great Commission. So we're convinced, as Sonny said this morning, even as he shared about our ministry of the month, that the Great Commission is for every believer and for every local church, and we as a local church look to this commission for our purpose, for our reason for existence. Our mission includes three actions that are involving three relationships. Just for a moment, I'm going to go back to the chart. Everybody cover one eye and tell me, what is the letter at the top of the chart? E. Very good. You got that. You now have 2200 vision. But if you go down to line number 8, that's 2020 vision, and there you will also see the letter E, not once, but twice. It's the second letter, and it's the second to the last letter in the line there, line number 8. That's the 2020 vision. And our mission is going to include three E's, maybe the one at the top and the two there in line 8, as we think about why we exist. What is our purpose? Why are we here? And I hope that this will be an encouragement as well as a challenge to you. The first E in our mission statement is that we exist as a local church to exalt the Lord Jesus. To exalt the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, we might ask the question, who is He? And that could take us the rest of the year to answer. So we're going to be very quick. When we think about the Lord Jesus and who He is, we're reminded of the triunity of what we often refer to as the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One God, but existing eternally in three eternal and equal persons. Now, in our mission statement, as we emphasize, in a sense, the Lord Jesus, we're doing that purposefully. One reason is that we could have said here, exalt God. And that would have been very appropriate, but then today in our culture, that would not be distinguishing us very well, would it? Because unfortunately, there are many so-called gods. And we desire for people to know that the reason we exist is to exalt the true God and the Lord Jesus, whom the Father has sent to this earth. So as a matter of succinctness, we say exalt the Lord Jesus, but the reality there is we're not saying we don't exalt God the Father. We're not even saying that we don't exalt God the Holy Spirit, though the Spirit of God Himself has come to exalt the Lord Jesus, and we join in with Him, and He within us and in us is exalting the Lord Jesus. We're thankful that our mission statement involves a relationship with God. In fact, if you don't have a true relationship with God through the Lord Jesus, then in reality, you're not part of the mission. You cannot purposefully exalt the Lord Jesus if you do not know the Lord Jesus, the one who has no beginning as God, who never stopped being God and never will discontinue existing as God, and yet He entered into our world. He entered physically. He became a human being. He took upon Himself the form of a bondservant. He came in the likeness of men, Paul wrote to the Philippian church 2,000 years ago. And being found in appearance as a man, this one, the Lord Jesus, whom we seek to exalt, humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And as a result of Him entering into this world, becoming a human being, and yet never sinning, and going to the cross, He died there as a substitute for us. not just us here in this room this morning, but for everyone of all time, the Lord Jesus hung on that cross and took our sin upon Himself and was made sin for us that He might take the punishment that we deserve. And God accepted that sacrifice. He accepted that sacrifice and put His stamp of approval on that by raising His Son, the Lord Jesus, from the dead. And Paul goes on to write there in Philippians 2, that therefore God also has highly exalted Him. We want to join in that. And given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We desire to exalt this one with whom we have a relationship. If we have individually, by faith, received the Lord Jesus as our Savior, have you done that? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus? Have you acknowledged that you are a sinner before God, that you have disobeyed God, and that you deserve to be punished eternally by God? Have you come to that recognition in your life? If so, have you turned to the Lord Jesus as the only way of salvation? Have you turned your eyes upon Jesus? Have you looked full in His wonderful face? Or maybe you said, I can't even look. I can only look down because of my wickedness, and I've reached out my hands. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus? Have you received Him as your Savior? Are you counting on Him and Him alone to take you to heaven, to give you life here that matters, to forgive you of every sin you've ever committed or ever will commit? If so, then you can exalt Him. You can hold Him in very high regard, the highest regard. You can glorify Him. That's what it means to exalt Him. The psalmist said in Psalm 34:3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together." To exalt is to magnify. Psalm 99 verse 5, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His footstool. He is holy." To exalt the Lord Jesus is to worship the Lord Jesus. Psalm 118, verse 28, "You are my God, and I will praise You. You are my God, and I will exalt You." Can you say that to the Lord Jesus? He is God. Thomas, seeing the Lord Jesus resurrected, fell down before Him and said, "My Lord and my God." That's who He is. And we desire to glorify Him. We desire to magnify Him. We desire to exalt Him. Look at what He said from His own lips in verse 18. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." He has been given authority. Authority as the one who conquered death. Notice how much authority has been given to Him. All authority. Authority is the power and the right to make decisions, to be in control. And it's been given to Him by His Father. You know, the Lord Jesus was already in authority. By virtue of Him being God and by His virtue of His position as creator and sustainer of all things. But after humbling Himself unto death, even the death of the cross, and being exalted by the Father to His own right hand, He has now been given authority as the one who has come and has won redemption for us, the one who has conquered death for us, the one who has conquered the grave for us, the one who has provided forgiveness of sins for us, the one who has come and done perfectly the will of the Father. It's Him. He has been given all authority. Notice where that authority lies. In heaven and on earth. in heaven and on earth. In essence, the Lord Jesus has been exalted by God the Father. And we desire to join in with that. We desire, as a local church, we believe that our purpose for existence is that we might exalt the Lord Jesus. Now, we can't make Him any higher than He is. We can't make Him any more glorious than He is. We can't make Him any bigger than He is. We can't do that because He is infinitely glorious. He is infinitely big. He is infinitely exalted. What do? We let that be seen. We let that be seen. We're like a magnifying glass as a local church and as individual believers. You take a magnifying glass and you put it up to something. Does it make that object bigger? No. What does it make it do? It makes it appear bigger to those who are looking. And we want people to see how great the Lord Jesus is. We want them to know how wonderful He is. We want the angels to hear about it. We want the demons to know about it. We want the Lord Jesus and His Father and the Holy Spirit to know how we see the Lord Jesus. We desire that He be exalted. Jump back one verse from our text. Look at verse 17. When they saw Him, they worshiped Him, but some doubted. We desire to be a local church, not of those who doubt His greatness, but of those who worship Him because of who He is. And we desire to exalt the Lord Jesus. I'm going to suggest a couple of ways. One I've already mentioned and read from the Psalms. Exalt the Lord Jesus through sincere worship. Sincere worship. Last year, our theme as a local church was to worship more in 2019. And we started out the year looking at John chapter 4 and looking at the Lord Jesus talking to that woman of Samaria there at that well. And He said that the Father is seeking worshipers who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we don't want to stop doing that just because the clock struck 12 o'clock and a new year began and it's not 2019 anymore. No, this local church has been founded and grounded on the desire to worship the Lord Jesus. Sincere worship in spirit and in truth. And not only to exalt the Lord Jesus through sincere worship, but to exalt the Lord Jesus through submissive obedience. He has been given all authority to make all decisions for all people. We desire to exalt Him by submitting to His will, submitting to His commands. We have many commands from the lips of the Lord Jesus. And as we rightly divide those and those of the Old Testament, we can apply them into our lives. And in the letters that were written after the Lord Jesus ascended back to heaven, we find many commands, and we desire as a local church and as individual believers to listen to His Word and respond in submissive obedience. And we desire not only individually to do that, but corporately to do that. The Lord Jesus said that the church is His church. And we believe that this local gathering of believers belongs to Him. And we are under His lordship. We're exalting not only Jesus. We're exalting the Lord Jesus because He is Lord. It's not wrong to refer to Him as Jesus. It's not wrong to Him to refer to Him as the Lord. But in this mission statement, we would desire to recognize Him as the Lord Jesus. And that is why that when we make decisions regarding how we're going to meet together and function together as a local church, that's why we go to His Word. That's why we meet like we do. That's why we have the meetings that we have. That's why we have the local church government that we have. That's why we seek to follow the one another commands of the New Testament, because we're under His authority. And we'll speak much more of these in coming Sundays and weeks. But maybe we can summarize it like this. The mission of Shannon Hills Bible Chapel begins, get that, begins with an upward focus, our Lord Jesus. It's kind of interesting in a way. It's all based, it's all grounded and founded on the foundation of the Lord Jesus, but we look up. We look up because we exalt Him. The one who's been given the name that's above every name. And we want to confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus to the glory of God the Father. We want to confess that with our lives too. In the way that we live. In the way that we function as a local church. So as we think about our mission as a local church, we want to exalt the Lord Jesus through sincere worship and submissive obedience. Secondly, as we work our way through this passage, the second E is to evangelize the world. Evangelize the world. The world can be, that word is used in Scripture in many different ways, but we're using it here as we read about it in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. And we want to love all those whom God loves. And here we're speaking of all those whom God loves, but yet who have not yet believed on the Lord Jesus as Savior. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes on Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. We want that to be our heart, a heart for the world. We might say there are people who are lost. They've not been found. There are people who are unbelievers. They have not placed their faith in the Lord Jesus. They are unsaved. They are under the condemnation of God as we once were before we received the free gift of salvation, not of our works, not of our goodness. They may be nominal Christians. They may be Christians in name only. They may be adherents of another religion. They may be agnostic. They may be atheist. But everyone who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior falls under this heading, and we have a relationship with them. A relationship as a fellow human being. All created in the image of God, with eternal souls. In Romans chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, Paul said, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise. In other words, I'm a debtor to everyone. So, as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Evangelize the world. To evangelize is to seek to convert by the gospel of grace. By the gospel of grace. Not by our great arguments. Not by forcibly getting someone to say, Jesus is Lord. Or I received the Lord Jesus as my Savior. Not by tricking someone into praying a prayer that they don't even know what they really mean or are saying. But rather the gospel of grace. And that is our responsibility to the world, to communicate to them the gospel of grace. The Greek word for gospel is good news. Good news. And we have good news of grace. And if it wasn't of grace, it wouldn't be good news. Because if it was the news that most people believe, I've got to be good enough to reach God, if there is a God, then that wouldn't be good news at all. Because we cannot reach Him. The Lord Jesus said, go. Go. Some translations say going or having gone. But the point is that we're on the move. Going, make disciples of all the nations. The King James Version says teach the nations. There's another word for teach that's normally used, and we're going to find it there in verse 20. The thought here really is this idea of making disciples, of discipling them using the gospel of grace. And we find that we're to be making disciples of all the nations. And as a local church, we want to take that seriously because that's why we're here. That's why we're here. That's why we support missionaries around the world. That's why we reach out to our neighbors and those within our home right where we live. That's why we open our arms to everyone to bring them to the gospel, to bring them to the Lord Jesus. Not to bring them to us, though we hope that they will come to the Lord Jesus and come to us and be a part of us and be a part of this mission. But our desire is to bring them to the Lord Jesus, that they will know forgiveness, that they'll experience forgiveness, a new life. And that then we will have the privilege of baptizing them. That evidence of the gospel's effect in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. A beautiful picture of the Trinity there. In that formula, as it were, for baptism, the single name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, three in one. And if you're here this morning and you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you've received Him as your Savior, and yet you've never been baptized, we would encourage you to come to one of the elders and express a desire. Let us share with you more about that, that you can understand that identification with the Lord Jesus in His death and burial and resurrection. It doesn't save you. It doesn't make you more spiritual, but it is obedience. It is submissive obedience to God's desire, and it's a testimony. And we have a responsibility to make disciples, to be a part of that. You see, God desires that His salvation be more than fire insurance, more than an escape from hell, though that it is. Praise God. And how thankful we are, those of us who believe on the Lord Jesus, that we have escaped what we rightly deserve, eternity separated from God, suffering in the lake of fire. The goal is deeper than that. The goal is broader than that and higher than that. It's Christ followers. It's ones who not only realize that they've been forgiven of their sins and brought into a relationship with God, but it's ones who are seeking to follow the Lord Jesus on a daily basis, to know Him, to allow the Spirit of God to work in their lives. And it's our responsibility to communicate the gospel of grace. We exist for that purpose, and you might think, I'm not a very good communicator. God can use you because it's the gospel of grace. It's not you. It's the message that you're sharing. It's the impact of the message in your life. We communicate the gospel of grace verbally. We use words. Romans 10 verses 13 to 17 read like this. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring good glad tidings of good things. There's the good news. Your feet might be the ugliest feet you've ever seen. But you know what? If you share the gospel, they're beautiful feet. Beautiful to God. Brothers and sisters, we want 20/20 vision. Whether you think my physical feet are pretty or beautiful or not is not what's important. I want God to see my feet as beautiful feet because I'm sharing the gospel. We continue reading there in Romans chapter 10. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? He started wondering who's going to believe. But that's not to stop us. It doesn't matter. I mean, it matters, but it doesn't matter in our evangelizing whether or not the people respond positively. We want them to. It matters for them. For us, what matters is that we are seeking to convert others to the Lord Jesus, that they might turn by the gospel of the grace of God. Verse 17 of Romans 10, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We've got to share with them the gospel's content. First Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 5, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen. That's the gospel. We've got to share verbally with words what the gospel is, that Christ died for our sins, and He was buried, and He rose again, and He was seen. And then we need to share verbally the gospel's reality. And it's not just something that we read and we heard and we tell others. No, it's something that should have impacted our lives, and it's something that should be impacting our lives every day, not just at the moment we got saved. If that's the only impact the gospel has had on your life, then maybe there's a question whether there was a reality in that profession. The gospel continues to work to shape us, to change us. You can share your story. Share what God did in your life. We might call it your testimony. You can share that. And then sharing the gospel's evidence. Baptism. Encouraging those who come to know the Lord Jesus that they might be baptized. But also we want to evangelize the world by communicating the gospel of grace visually with actions. Our lives should show a change. I don't know how many of you ever have been in a play, in a skit or a drama. But you know what? That's how God wants to use our lives. It's not just acting, by the way. He wants our lives to be a reality show, okay? A reality show with a camera on us, as it were. The eyes, the lens of the world watching us and seeing the difference, seeing how we respond to heartache, seeing how we respond to failure, seeing how we respond to rejection, seeing how we celebrate the Lord Jesus, seeing how we have a purpose to live, seeing how we care about them, how we love them, how we evangelize them, not only out of duty, but out of love. Because we've first been loved, John tells us in 1 John. Therefore, we love God, but we love others too. We love who He loves. For God so loved the world. And you might say, well, I'm glad you use that word evangelize, because I'm not an evangelist, so I guess I'm out of it. I'm escaped that one. No, you haven't escaped that one. 2 Timothy 4:5, do the work of an evangelist. I'm not an evangelist. It is not easy for me, in most cases, to share the gospel. It's not something that is natural for me, even as a spiritual gift. That's not how God has made me. But I have the responsibility to share the gospel. I can relate. If you have a struggle with that, even giving out a tract, as our brother Sonny challenges us, encourages us to do, that's one of the simplest things to do. It's not always an easy thing to do. But God wants us to do that. That's why we're here. He wants us to share the gospel with our family, our neighbors, our coworkers, people that we rub shoulders with in the marketplace, people around the world. God has sent us as a local church and as individual believers. And the mission of Shannon Hills Bible Chapel includes an outward focus that is citywide and worldwide. The mission of Shannon Hills Bible Chapel includes an outward focus that is citywide and worldwide. Evangelize the world. Exalt the Lord Jesus. Evangelize the world. And then thirdly, edify the church. Edify the church. The church, literally the word in the Greek, ekklesia, means the called out ones. We've been called out of the world. We've responded to the call of God. We may refer to these as believers, ones who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is not a building or an institution. Romans 16:5, Paul tells the Romans, he says, greet the church that is in their house. They were meeting in a building, but that wasn't the church. No, the church was meeting in their house. It's the people who were saved. There's the universal church, everyone, everywhere, who is saved. We're all part of that universal church, but there are also many local churches, believers, who are gathering together in a certain geographical area. And we have a relationship. The Bible speaks of us as brothers and sisters in Christ. The Bible speaks of us as a flock. Sheep together under the chief shepherd. The Bible speaks of us as a body working together. The Bible speaks of us as a building. We have a relationship. And we're to edify the church. We're to build up. That's really what that word means. In current usage, it means to instruct or to benefit, to uplift. But it comes really from a word that speaks about building a house. And again, we are the house of God as believers. And we're also the body. So we can think of that body building, investing in the body through proper nutrition and exercise. How can we build up one another? Not build up our egos, but build us up spiritually. Build up one another. Romans 14:19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which we may edify one another. We're to pursue those things. We're to chase after those things. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you were also doing. Just as you were also doing. Let's do it even more. The Lord Jesus said, I want you to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Notice verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Teaching them. Informing and explaining, equipping the believers to know what the Lord Jesus expects, to know how the Lord Jesus empowers us by His Spirit to be obedient to His commands, to observe His commands, to obey what He has commanded us. Teaching them, verse 20, to observe all things. All things. Brothers and sisters, I need edification. I need to be built up by you. Because I need to be obedient to all things, not just most of the things, not just the things you see. We need to encourage each other to build each other up. And I'm going to suggest very quickly that we can do that through, first of all, instruction, teaching formally, teaching doctrine, including truth about the character of God, biblical testimonies of God working in the lives of real people, explaining and applying the commands of Christ, the grace of Christ. And then there's also interaction. We might call this teaching informally. Some would say doing life together, coming alongside and encouraging and being an example, engaging with one another where we are and where our needs are, exhorting one another, correcting one another, loving one another, being patient with one another, showing wisdom toward one another, being truthful for one another. And the mission of Shannon Hills Bible Chapel involves an inward focus of beneficially affecting fellow believers, not just here in this local church, but believers everywhere. Through Kim's recent cancer diagnosis, the love that has been shown us here has been overwhelming. And it's been wonderful to see the love of other believers from other local churches in this city and in other cities and in other states and in other countries. It's been wonderful to be loved, to have them engaging and encouraging and exhorting. And many of you experienced the same thing. And we want to continue to experience that on a deeper basis as we live out our mission, which includes an inward focus of beneficially affecting fellow believers. Our mission, not just for this year, our mission, exalting the Lord Jesus, evangelizing the world, edifying the church, based firmly on Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, the Great Commission is drawn exactly out of that. This is an exciting task, but I must conclude and confess, an overwhelming task. But notice how the commission ends. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We are not alone in this mission. And it's not just one another. And we may fail one another, but there's one who will never fail you, will never fail us. The Lord Jesus. He's with us. So can I ask you, will you commit to join in this mission? By God's grace and for God's glory, it's His purposes. May we do this from our hearts. The mission of Shannon Hills Bible Chapel is not to make us feel good or to make us look good. It's not to ease our consciences or prove our points. It's for the glory of God, the Lord Jesus. That's our mission. May we go forward this year with joy in our hearts because it's all by the grace of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to join together this first Sunday morning of a new year. We praise you for this day, the day that you have made, the year that you have made. You have placed us here at this time. And Father, we've been reminded this morning of the purpose for which you placed us here, to exalt your Son. Lord, we lift him up. We want to glorify Him, we want to magnify Him, not just in this place, but in every place. Lord, you put us here to evangelize the world. Give us a heart. Lord, help us not to be self-centered and selfish and hardened by the hardness of this world. Lord, may we go out. May we care. May we love. May we share. And Father, may we build up each other and other believers. Father, may we be concerned. Yes, we're our brother's keeper. Yes, we have a responsibility. Father, may we do this for your glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. I encourage you to meditate on that while we have one verse of a hymn.